You know, we've been doing Christmas services since the 15th of December, and we've covered most of the passages that you normally cover, right? And we're going to cover this passage, which is a bit after Jesus' birth. And on Sunday, we looked at when Jesus was presented at the temple when he was 1.5 months old. And this passage is the passage that flows on from that in Luke's Gospel, where Jesus comes to the temple when he is 12 years old.
Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they travelled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and man.
The passages at Christmas are so often the angel Gabriel appearing to Mary, or the dreams of Joseph, or the wise men following the sign in the heavens, or the incarnation and all those, the miraculous parts of it. And it's all the sort of, the amazing parts. The thing I find fascinating is that Luke, when he was doing his research for writing his gospel, he went around and talked to a bunch of people, and it's pretty clear that he talked to Mary. Because he tells about the birth of Jesus from Mary's perspective. And so he talked to her about everything. I'm sure he said, what was it like when Jesus was born? And what was it like when he was growing up? And this is the only story that Luke wrote down about when Jesus was growing up. This is the only one. Later on in the second century, people tried to have a go at writing some more fanciful gospels, and they wrote things like Jesus making little pigeons out of clay and then turning them into real pigeons and sort of fanciful things like that. Clearly no connection at all. But the only thing that stood out, that when Luke asked Mary what is it like when Jesus is growing up, and out of all of the things that might have happened or whatever else, this is the one that she recounted to Luke. And I love this story because it's so ordinary. There's nothing miraculous, right? There's no angels, there's no heavenly choir, there's no star. It's just a child growing up in an ordinary family. Now, growing up in Nazareth with all of his friends and relatives, all of his cousins. I mean, I only have 4 cousins, right? Some of you have many more cousins than that. And if you like have 20 or 30 cousins, you are probably much more like what Jesus had. Just in, villages with large families and interconnected and all that sort of stuff. He would have had cousins, more than he could count, more than his fingers and toes. And so he's interconnected with all these people. They're people that live in Nazareth, and they're in a northern outpost in a sort of more Gentile area of the land, but they're really committed to following Jesus, following the law of Moses, and they're strict in some ways. And the law said that they needed to go to Jerusalem 3 times a year to celebrate Passover, Pentecost and Tabernacles. But this passage only says that they went to Jerusalem once a year. Maybe that's all they could afford. And for them, for Jesus, it would have been a bit like his holiday, his annual holiday to the beach. or wherever you have your annual holiday. You know, because you're leaving your home, you're going on a journey, you're going with your friends, you're going to this big city, you're seeing these amazing buildings, you're seeing the temple, God's house. People are going to this place. It's very ordinary. And then I love how Jesus sort of hangs around. That's very ordinary too. I can remember a time when I was a kid. And kids, if you're listening to me now, please don't take this as advice. I tell this story to my great shame. Is that I was in primary school and I had a friend, Paul. And I went around to his place one day after school to have a play. The trouble was, my parents didn't know that I was going to his place for a play. Now, I think what happened was that I had dreamed intensely that I had spoken to my parents about this. And so we got picked up by Paul's parents from the school gate and taken to his place. I don't know how my parents ended up finding out where on earth I was, but I can imagine they were beside themselves. Where's David? I mean, like, the school was just around the corner. It's like 100 metres walk from the house. Where's he gone? I don't know. Did my parents even know Paul's parents? How did they find... like, this is before mobile phones where everybody knew everybody's numbers. This is before Facebook. I mean, this is where you had big books with phone numbers in them and you had to dial round dials. That's how old I am, right? This is ancient technology from the last millennium. But maybe some of you can remember times when you were a kid that when you organised something without your parents' knowledge. Or maybe you were all just perfect angels and it's appropriate that you're here on Christmas. But I'm not going to ask you to confess to your deep and darker secrets. Maybe you can tell me later and I can use it in a sermon illustration some other time. But it's a very real, very earthy, very ordinary story, isn't it? And I share that because sometimes we can forget the ordinariness of Jesus. Now, in the Old Testament, you know, God appeared to people like Abraham and stuff like that, and he sometimes appeared in a human form and even sometimes sat down with people and ate with them, right? But this wasn't a fly-in, fly-out visit from God. This was a, I'm coming in and I'm hanging around, I'm staying, I'm going to live as a human, as a real human, not just for a few moments or a few hours or a few interactions, but day after day and week after week and month after month and year after year. It's actually extraordinary that God would become so ordinary. And rather than that diminishing Christmas in some way, it actually deepens it. If we can just take some time to recognize that God became ordinary, just like you and me. Having family misunderstandings, going on family holidays, getting lost, causing your parents anxiety. We've all done that at one time or another, haven't we? Just the ordinariness, the long-term ordinariness of God becoming a human. You know, when you move to different places, depending on the place, it can take a period of time for people to treat you as a local. Now, if you move to Melbourne from Sydney or Brisbane like I did, it usually doesn't take that long, right? But you go to a small country town or a seaside resort, you know, village, or maybe a small village somewhere else, right? And they don't regard you as a local unless you've been there for years and maybe even 20 years and you're still not regarded as a local, right? And here, Jesus spends at least 30 years just being ordinary. Becoming one of us. Not just is he a fly by night? Is he a here today, gone tomorrow sort of guy? No, he's been around for decades. He's grown up with family, grown up with his siblings. This is the last record. This passage is the last reference to Jesus' earthly father Joseph being alive that we have. Going through all of the difficulties that, you know, of then him as the oldest son and being expected to step up to be in some ways the man of the household. You know, going through all of the ordinary stuff, building things, you know, cooking, cleaning, washing, going out, doing whatever you need to do. the ordinariness of life. But yet, within this story, there's this flash of the extraordinary. Where his anxious parents come to him and say, "What were you doing? Pulling their hair out?" And he said, "Didn't you know I needed to be in my Father's house?" Now, Mary didn't really grasp and comprehend at the time, and Joseph didn't either, because I'm your father. We have a house in Nazareth. What are you talking about? And sometimes people just say things that you just don't get, and they sort of just go over your head, right? And it doesn't make sense to many, many years later. And I think this is one of those things. It didn't make sense to Mary at the time, but he remembered it. It stood out in heart, and when Luke was talking to her, probably in Ephesus, this is the thing that came back. You see, it's the ordinary, but there's this flash of the extraordinary. And before Jesus did any miracles, before he walked on water, before he fed 5,000, when he was just 12, excited to be in the temple. This ordinary person showed this extraordinary glimpse into his 12-year-old understanding of who he was. That he was his Heavenly Father's son. This is so what it's like in the Bible. Identity comes before industry. Your relationship comes before your responsibility. Who you are before what you do. Human being before human doing. And for 30 years, Jesus lived as a human being who knew deeply that he was his Heavenly Father's son. It wasn't a surprise to him when at Jesus' baptism, his Heavenly Father said in a loud voice, "You're my son whom I love, with you I'm well pleased." No, Jesus knew that from early age, at least we know it was at 12 and probably before that. And so although Jesus was ordinary, and that was extraordinary enough, it was also extraordinary who he understood himself to be. I think the only Christmas passage that we haven't referred to this Christmas season is the one at the beginning of John's Gospel. And so for completeness, we're going to refer to it now. John chapter 1. And unlike the story in Luke 2, this is a much more philosophical rendering of the events that happened, right? It's John, decades later, having wrestled and lived with the presence of God in his life, trying to articulate it, the enormity and the extraordinariness of who this person was. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light." And then I'll just jump down to verse 14 for a moment. The very famous words, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." As the Message version paraphrases, "The Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, 'This is the one I spoke about when I said, He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ.'" And John here is making it clear when he's talking about the Word, he's talking about Jesus. He's just clarifying that in case there was any confusion. "No one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." But I left some verses out in the middle, which we'll come back to right now. "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That is extraordinary. The extraordinary God becomes ordinary, so that you and I, who have ordinary parents, may become extraordinarily the children of God. Jesus, from a young age, knew deeply his identity. And God's Christmas gift to us is if that we will receive Jesus, if we will recognize that who he is, the Son of God and the Son of Man, fully God and fully man, if we will recognize him as the Prince of Peace, as the Savior of the world, as the King of Kings and Lord of the Lords, the one who saves us from our sin, the Christmas gift that we get is a new birth certificate. A more important birth certificate than any birth certificate you might have, any extract you might have, any scanned copy you might have. You and I get given the identity as being the children of God when we receive Jesus. And that's an extraordinary gift. It's a gift worth taking, a gift worth unwrapping, a gift worth treasuring. Because this world likes to put lots of identities on you. Maybe your life has put some identities on you that are unhelpful or damaging. Maybe your cruel and unthinking friends at school say things about you that try and label you as a certain sort of person. Maybe your difficult family of origin, or maybe people at work treat you badly, or maybe friends and neighbours, or so-called friends and neighbours, have done that, and they've put labels on you, and you've taken them on board, and they've wounded your spirit and soul, and damaged your soul. Well, you need to clear all of those identities off the board. You need to push them to one side. You need to clear them out of the way, so that there is space to recognise your deepest, most important, most enduring identity as a child of God, as a deeply loved child of God. And we know that we have this because of Jesus. We know that we have this because of Christmas. We know that we have this because of the Incarnation. The extraordinary made ordinary. So extraordinarily, you and I can be connected to God. I think that's worth singing about. So we're going to sing this song, "Who You Say I Am." And this is, I want to use this as a response to Christmas and Easter, as a response to Christmas. Yes, it's amazing what God has done. And this is the effect in your life and mine as we receive Jesus by trust and put our confidence in him. Let's stand together and sing.